John.
Barely.
It's always so silent. I never know if you're there.
Yeah, it's because we have, I guess that's because it's noise canceling mics, I guess. Guessing. I don't know. Don't know what
I
I'm
don't know, but it's
thinking.
just really quiet. So that's how I always say, John.
John, yeah, barely. Yes. Like we're meeting in Plato's cave. Who's got the flashlight?
Yeah, you in here? So true. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm very fine, actually.
Good.
I don't know why.
I want to hear very fine.
I feel pretty good. I mean, I don't have a lot of pain. I'm in pretty good shape. I mean, for the shape I'm in, I'm pretty good shape, really. My voice is kind of sort of coming back,
Yeah, it is.
and so a lot of things are changing.
Good.
I guess I came away with from the last trip to the hospital. I came away with a very I mean the candor of the staff was interesting. They know who I am, so we have a doctor to doctor relationship, which is kind of fun. Because
Yes.
we don't talk in riddles, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, that's right, I'm talking to you. I forgot about that, right? Okay. Well, I didn't go to the hospital after all. Nope, I didn't go there.
Yeah. Okay.
right, never mind. Never mind.
Well,
I'm fine. I think
good.
there's a place for it, though. Come on. There's a
Sure.
place where, if you're that sick, holistic
Sure.
medicine is a great, preventer. But I think at some point when you're going down, if you're already in a flat spin, you better figure out how to start the goddamn engine. You agree with that? You agree with that?
Well, yeah, because you're talking about an emergency situation. So what we
Right.
want to do is be holistic in the beginning so we don't get to that. And then,
Yes.
if there's a problem, there is definitely a remedy because there's no such thing as no remedy in this life that we live. There's a remedy for everything. Everything.
Okay, and I'm following your lead. I have done some things that, are better, like my snacks now are, nuts and,
Yeah.
berries and yogurt, and drizzled with some kind of powdery stuff that's ground up pelican beaks, whatever it is. I mean, I'm following your lead. I am.
Good. Good. Make sure it's good yogurt though. Not just all the sugary junk.
No, I my favorite yogurt, of course, is full of sugar. So I purposely buy this other, or Christine buys it, this other stuff that is just nasty shit.
What is
And
it?
I don't
Plain?
know, plain, 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 underlined plain. And so I don't know, but I mean, we don't have a lot of resources to go to. We have a store, a
Yeah,
couple of
that's too
stores.
bad.
And I don't go to the, I guess I could. If Ballard has a public market on the weekends where they sell stuff,
Should try it.
I should. I should.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we're all quite spoiled by it. Even the dogs, they look forward to their bone when they come home. They look forward to the baguette. They look forward to the croissant.
A croissant. Hey, I got a croissant. Yes, for you, doggy. Come here. Right. Here, put on your tam. Eat this croissant.
They're so funny too. It's like Nala knows. Like the baguette, obviously we're not gonna eat the whole thing in one sitting, so that if we forget and we let it sit or whatever, you can revive the bread very easily. And she knows the moment I put it in the air fryer that it's coming. She loves it.
So is that a convection thing, the air fryer? Is that what that is?
It's air. I don't know. It's air. I don't know if it's convection. I don't know if it that qualifies because a convection oven is different, I think, from an air fryer.
I don't know the difference. I mean, I don't
Yeah, I don't
really, I
either.
really don't know. I use gas or electric, and I always have one or the other, depending on where I'm living.
Well, it's a lifesaver because it just warms your food, it cooks your food. I mean, of course, I have a Pampered Chef one, and it's the best. So it's the best.
How big is it?
I don't know, it fits under the counter.
Under the
But
counter.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like on
Yeah.
the counter underneath the your cabinets.
Yeah. I went and bought an island. I bought an island actually a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I just it's just a square. So I use it for everything, table, everything.
Yep.
If you want to come to dinner, eat here, you're going to sit around this thing. No, nobody's legs fits under the table. They all have to squat and look the way everyone is. It's too bad. I'm serving. Here it comes. But I make bread on the table.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
I
make
know.
bread. I do all kinds of stuff on that
That's
table.
because, you know what? That's because you're following in Julia's footsteps.
I am. I did.
Yeah,
Well,
she
I
cooked
did
out of a
literally.
closet.
I did really, literally.
I know. Yeah. And I mean, I guess, there's something to be said about that, but I just love like a big cutting board.
Well, I
That's.
make up for that by buying lots of cutting boards. I have way too many cutting boards. Way too many. But I
Yeah,
love
how
the
do you store
wood. I
them?
love the wood. Oh, just
So
stack
do
them around
I.
here. I mean, have you looked at my hall tree? How what do you mean,
Yeah,
how do you
yeah, yeah.
store
Yeah.
them?
I love them too. I love the wood.
I think so. I mean, I've got marble. I've had marble countertop. Well, I just bought a slab of marble too. I put that on there. Because marble's kind of fun for cookies and stuff,
Sure.
if it's clean. And I don't
I
know.
have what is it? I have a piece from my mother's kitchen. Gosh, like 30 years ago when she remodeled her kitchen. It was it's like a soft green. I think it is Accorian when Accorian was a big
Well,
thing.
yeah, and
Yeah, I
that
think
green makes
so.
the green color makes sense too.
Yeah, and yeah, I still have that thing. It's my mom's. Some things you just don't let go of. I
No,
still have my. I
you
know.
don't. You shouldn't let go of it either. No.
I have my mom's like stainless steel stock pot. It only has one handle on it, but it was her mother's. So.
How big? Pretty big.
It's not that big, but it's big. It's big
Big enough to
enough.
be a stock pot if it's a
Oh
stock
yeah.
pot. Yeah,
Most
yeah.
de yeah, definitely. And I love it. I love it. It's, like double walled, thick, heavy. I don't know. I love kitchen stuff.
Very
I do
good.
like to cook and I like to have order. Because when I start cooking, I am making a lot of things at one time. I do. I don't just,
I'm just laughing on the background here.
Why?
Well, when I'm in the kitchen, it's like a Cuisinart with no top, over here. I need six prep cooks behind me. Pick that up, Mike. Get that over here right now.
Oh my gosh.
Bring that in. That was my biggest find of all time, really, was
You're
a
gonna have to put Christine on the line. I need to know how she deals with all this stuff. Oh my
Oh,
gosh.
she's really good. She's a fabulous cook. She really is. But the best thing I found out really is the poaching eggs in a wok. That's when I finally got to the point where I can do a perfect.
In
You
a
do all kinds
walk.
in a wok. Yeah, that's the best poached egg you'll ever have in your life in terms of how it looks and
Why?
how it comes up. Because you can spin the water, and the water spins properly in a wok. It won't in a saucepan. Doesn't work right. Won't in a fry pan. You can lay shallow down, shallow water in a fry pan. If you put a wok up there, fill a wok up with water, put it on the stove, bring it to a boil, bring it back, to medium. Put your put your eggs in a cup and swirl the water. Use the cup to swirl the water so it's going pretty good. Then just fold the eggs into the water, swirling, and then step away for as many minutes as you want, anywhere from, let's say if you've got the heat way down, it's probably going to be a 9 minute egg. It could be six or seven, but you don't touch them. Don't touch them. Just walk away. And when you come back, you spoon it in with a open spoon and take the egg out, and you'd think that it was designed by Disney. It's perfect. Absolutely
Do
perfect.
you drain your egg before you do that?
You mean the albumen or whatever it is, the
Yeah.
white? No, I do the whole thing because I like to
No,
see
no,
the.
no, no, not, no. I don't mean that. I mean like if you drain your egg, okay, you'll get all the scrappy stuff off of the egg so that you only have a perfect egg, the yolk and the white together.
Well, I, yeah, I, well, I mean, I bring it up and out with a ladle, so it drains it off. I mean, I don't know that I have a perfect egg, but I probably do pretty close. I mean, it's pretty good, pretty good. I mean, and there's all, we get all kinds of stuff with that. I mean, from Alice Waters breakfast all the way. Now, although Alice Waters, her, you ever been to Alice Waters in San Francisco? Her breakfast, her, yeah. God, she has a breakfast to die for. Wow. Anyway, never mind.
Okay, what is it?
It's salsa. It's chopped, homemade salsa, really. It's a flash fried egg. It's flash fried. It's got to be really hot, some grease, really hot. Put the two sides, choo
Okay.
choo, and put that on chopped homemade salsa that you make yourself. Make it on the spot
Okay.
with all the stuff you put salsa in. Put it there, make it up, and you put that on an English muffin or on something like that that's pretty well cooked, light butter. Put that on there. So you put that English muffin, salsa, flash fried egg on that. That's an Alice Waters breakfast. Fantastic.
That's like a staple over here. That's like any Mexican household.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I know you're right, but I mean, I just love it. I love
Yeah, that's
it.
easy.
I make a lot of quesadillas.
You do?
Oh yeah, lots of quesadillas. Jesus.
Well, stop eating so much cheese.
Why? I love cheese.
Because it's hard on your digestion. I love cheese too.
I'm pooping just fine. No problem.
Okay. Yeah, but they say that you've got miles and miles of backed up stuff in
Well,
there.
I could have, yeah. I could have. I
You know?
don't know. I'll check. Hey, you got a sample case? I got a sample here. Let's see.
I mean, really, that's why. Well, anyway, we don't have to
Well,
get into that, but.
I'll take it easy. I mean, I'll take it easy. I mean, it's just light sprinkle. It's. I don't hang it up with cheese. I use that, but I use cheddar, a little bit of cheddar, but usually I'll put thinly sliced onions. Thinly sliced, like the last one was mushrooms. Thinly sliced this, thinly sliced, everything thin. Green leaves of some kind, whatever's around. Green, washed. I haven't used soursop leaves yet in the quesadilla, but maybe I'm drinking soursop right now. Actually, your soursop I'm drinking.
Good. I'm gonna make some too. It's supposed to rain. It's gonna be perfect for that. But yeah, I don't know. I really cut back on cheese. I used to cook like that a lot, because I'm Mexican, so I cooked a lot of Mexican food. But I don't know, when I start to wake up and understand what the heck was going on with our food and everything, I just cut so many things out. I just won't eat it. I will not eat that processed food. And the cheese, it's just pure plastic.
What? Where do you buy your cheese? It's not plastic.
It is.
Not
It is.
good cheese. Not good cheese.
Well, what is good cheese?
Well, you go watch and make it yourself.
Fresh, hard cheese. But
Yeah.
like, I mean, with Mexican food, you're using, cheddar cheese and you're using jack cheese and then all the Mexican cheeses, things like that.
Yeah, I well, I just I use. I mean, you're as accomplished, Spanish cooker, I guess. I don't have that. I cheat. I just cheat terribly. I mean, I just, I change packaging. I do all kinds of stuff, make sure, I mean, I reprice the wine, make sure it's expensive.
Oh my God, Sean. Oh, it's so unnecessary.
There's no way that, well, I mean, it's of course it's unnecessary, but it's fun.
My
It's
gosh.
fun.
Fun.
Yeah, have people go home and say, I John served a $179 bottle of wine last night.
Oh
I can't believe it.
John, that's those are your friends. You can't do that. Oh, you're like, eh, I got one on you. I got one on you. It's $2, Chuck. Eh. Yeah. Speaking of which, I guess that's not very good for you at all. You're
Well, I
all.
read a story about the 2 buck chuck guy. I don't know. Are they still doing 2 buck chuck? Is that still around?
You know what? I don't know. I know it's not $2 anymore. I think it's three.
Well, yeah. But I mean, come on,
Yeah, I don't, I just don't
I
like
don't think
it.
you need. I don't think a one winery, small winery. I don't think they can make it anything under $12 a bottle. I don't know how they break even. It's
Because you're just
ridiculous.
buying it in bulk.
Well, if you buy a truckload of wine, grapes, bring them in. I mean, some guys just buy the juice by the tanker,
Yeah.
but they're not wineries. They're producers of something. They're not making wine. No. If you make that stuff in your bedroom, but
Yeah, I don't drink that. But you know what I was drinking for a while? It's olive oil.
I can't even imagine that. I can't get there from here. No, God. I mean, that would be like my mother punishing me in 1940.
It's really good, especially if you get a good olive oil and then you just put it in a shot glass and you sip on that for a while. It's really good.
No, Mom, no, don't do that
If guests come over and you had them all in a shot glass of olive oil? Oh, just try it. You'll love it. It's good for you.
what kind of olive oil do you drink? Is it? Is
Just re just really good olive oil, You got to make sure it's pure, extra
it?
virgin, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one that I got from the farmer's market is so good. It's so good. And even Peter was like, God, this olive oil. Because you can tell how green it is. Yeah, because the olives go from green to purple. And it's just really, really good. Yeah. It's so good for you.
What does it do for you? What does olive oil do for you
Oh
besides?
my gosh, well, first of all, it's a lubricant. And then it's got all kinds of vitamins in there, and then it's good for your skin and your hair and your nails.
You have to rub it on, or can you just drink it? You have to rub it on? No, you drink it.
No, you drink
This is
it.
drink. Yeah. My nails are fine. I mean, they look pretty good. They're kind of ridges. They got kind of ridges on them, but they're okay. Yeah.
No, it's just changing your ways,
I like flank steak. You ever make flank steak?
No.
Flank?
It's not that I don't make it. Well, it is that I don't make it. I don't eat that stuff. You know what I mean? I used to make
Beef.
it.
Just
I
beef is
know.
all it is.
I know, I make tacos.
What do you put in your tacos?
Just season it. You just
With
season
what?
the meat. Well, I actually you make tacos with that meat, but that's not how I make my tacos because I make potato tacos.
Potato tacos?
Yeah.
See, the potato is the substitute for the meat?
Yeah, we like plain potato tacos, but I will also put potato in my meat.
How did you crisp up the potatoes somehow? You make them crispy?
No, you just have to boil it for a little bit till they're soft. Make sure
Yeah.
you salt them because, yeah, otherwise they're not good. But
And you put them in that way? Just put them in like window putty? They look like window putty when you put them
no. In my hamburger, I'll use a good hamburger and then I'll, brown it, season it up,
Yeah.
with salt and pepper, paprika. I love a little bit of sage, and maybe some garlic salt, and I'll throw some potatoes in there, and then you
Yeah.
just, chop it up in there, and you scoop it into a tortilla, and you make all your tacos, and then you fry them.
So you use corn tortillas or
Corn.
flour corn,
Corn.
and
They're
you make them.
delicious.
You make them soft. You get them soft. You form them yourself, or you bring them. You buy them preformed.
No, we make them fresh.
You make them fresh.
Never, ever
Yeah.
preformed
You
tacos.
make the material. I mean, you roll them out, dry them.
No, I don't make my own tortillas for tacos.
Okay, so you buy them in a package, like 500 at a time or whatever it is.
Yeah, from at
Yeah.
Costco.
Yeah.
But I try to buy better quality tortillas. Usually at Sprouts or something. Yeah, organic.
Have you tried my chili yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't
You
tried your
remember the
chili.
you remember the recipe?
I just remember that you put V8 in
Yeah, right.
it. Right? So just meat and beans and V8. Your award-winning chili. Yeah. What else am I missing? Onion?
Well, 3 pounds. I mean, 3 pounds of the way I do it. Okay, it's the way I do it. I just buy one package of seasoning per pound of meat. That's all I do.
Yeah.
So you probably use your own seasoning. I buy a
I
package off the
do.
rack. I'll buy a package off the rack because it's a perfect mix that way. Per pound, I brown the meat, drain it, and put it in a crock pot, and then I throw in I sometimes it'll drain off the beans, sometimes it won't, but typically I drain, wash and drain the beans and as many as I like, and I a medley of beans, maybe 5 cans of beans of everything from garbanzo beans to kidney beans, to black beans. I have a lot of color in the beans. And so I've got 3 pounds of ground or 4 pounds, whatever I want, 3 or 4 pounds of beef that I've browned, drained in the crock pot. Then I drain off the beans and I take 64 ounces of V8, which is one big bottle, and throw it in there with the meat, along with those as many packages as I have pounds of meat of seasoning. Now, I used to use chili seasoning, just put it in, chili powder with some stuff. I used to do that. I never could quite get it right. But now I use Larson's and it's perfect. And I'm sure and I never read the package because I feel guilty. It's like I would, now that I know you, I don't read the packages anymore because then I feel guilty.
Right.
And I have to like go to confession or something. I have to do penance. I'm gonna, it's like the devil made me do it. Merrily wouldn't do this, but I'm gonna do it anyway. Anyway, cook it up. Yep, throw in whatever you want. Chopped onions, whatever you like. Throw it in there. Serve it up. And we'll just, they'll try and take it home. You try and take it home every time.
Yeah.
It's
Do
so
you
good. It's stupid.
do you make cornbread with it?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I have a cornbread, a cast iron cornbread maker that I've just, so it looks like corn when it comes out. Or sometimes I'll make it in a iron pan, just like a flat piece, and then I'll cut it up that way. Although I don't lean toward cornbread necessarily, I'd rather chop up a baguette, frankly, and toast it or something.
Really? What about beer bread?
What's beer bread? What is that?
Really?
What is beer bread? What is
You
it?
just put a beer in there in your mix.
Oh, I've done that
And
before. Yeah, sure. Is that what you call beer bread?
yeah, but I make it in a like in a loaf pan.
I don't. I guess I've never done that. I'm a little more, I guess, linear about the bread. My favorite bread is potato bread, which is what I make.
Right.
You know that. A beer bread, huh? I put beer in meat, and I tend to put beer in, if I'm gonna put alcohol anywhere, I'll put it in meat.
Like
Or
in a
put it anywhere
stew
else.
or like to marinate it?
Yeah, no. I'll just throw it in. I'll throw in a bottle of this or that. But I don't know. I'm kind of sticking out of a small glass of wine, if at all. I'm hardly a drinker. I mean, compared to what I used to be, I'm not a drinker at all, frankly. I just don't do it. Not that I wouldn't, I guess, but I just don't anymore. Through with that stuff. Done with that. Did that. Got the t-shirt.
Yep, been there,
Done
done that.
it. Yeah.
Of course, I haven't.
Oh,
I got drunk one time in high school, and I remember being so hungover, and I'm like, never again. Never again. I don't ever want to feel like this again. And then I think I got drunk one more time somewhere, and I thought, why did I do this to myself? And now I'm just so much of a lightweight. I can't drink.
no, I suppose now you probably can't at all because you don't have
I
any,
really can't.
no endurance from the, you haven't poisoned your whole system.
Right, exactly. And if I have like a glass of wine, I mean, either I get tipsy right away or I get really sleepy. And then I'm just no fun anymore because I'm too tired.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy it. Yeah. On occasion, maybe a glass of white wine at dinner. If I have more than one glass, everybody goes, whoa.
Yeah, white wine is disgusting.
What, white wine?
Don't. Yeah, it's disgusting.
I think I'm kind of with you on that, except sometimes there's an exception. I like a Sauvignon Blanc. I do. Sometimes there's an exception if it's good. Other times it's just
Well, I
vinegar.
mean,
It's gross.
Sauvignon Blanc. I mean, you've got to drink German wine if you're going to drink white wine.
Like
French don't know
what?
how to make white wine. Well, anything German, anything Hofbräu would be good. But the Germans are the white wine people, not the French. My opinion. This is just my opinion.
Well, you know what? I learned that I like port. And the way I learned that I like port was with the cigar.
Well, I mean that's a style issue. That's not drinking. That's all
Exactly.
about style.
Exactly. I know. That's funny. It's more of a when in Rome type of thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. I told you,
You'd smoke the cigar too?
Yeah,
Yeah. What kind of cigars do you like?
I don't know, and I don't like a kind of cigar. I don't have any experience preference. No, I know. Sometimes, like when after playing racquetball and stuff, we would get together, all the guys, and sit around the table and they'd pour a glass of port and say, Marilee, just have here, take this. So now we all have a cigar in our hand and we're talking life lessons.
That's great, actually. That's fun. That's great.
A lot of fun. It's a good crowd.
Well, that's a great tradition. I mean, that's a great memory.
Oh yeah, most definitely. That was fun.
Gosh, that's
But then I
great.
moved away, and so we don't do that anymore. But it was
Well, you
fun
do
while it
other stuff.
lasted. Yeah, I do other stuff. Stuff, it just, takes the place of like getting random furniture and meeting people.
That's amazing. That
Yeah.
story's amazing. I don't know if you want to talk about it or not, but that's amazing. What you just did.
I know.
It's
This is how God works in my life, I'm telling you.
it's okay. I'll give you that because I know that you're good at, tuning into God for something you need. I mean, you are the best. I mean, if you just put it out there, it comes to you. You just put it out there, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. But this thing
I
you got
know.
today was brilliant.
I know.
I mean, everything about it is brilliant. Everything about it is brilliant.
I know.
It's like, I'm just like you bumped into the Holy Grail,
Right.
been waiting for you.
I know. I don't know. I don't even know. I'm sitting there just looking at it going, I just can't believe it. This is amazing to me.
Is it, does it talk to you? Is it talking to you at all? Is it saying anything? Has it woke up and figured out where am I? Is it said, where am I?
I don't know. I don't know. I was sitting there looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, how did this come piece of furniture right here? It's just so amazing to me. And the reason why it's so amazing is because it's not just that the piece of furniture itself is so perfect for what I wanted, but the story behind it and what's to come. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like it's never just a thing. It's never that. Whatever it is that comes into my life, it has a story to go with it. And
Well, that's right. If you can see it coming, it's not that. I mean, that's your line, right?
that's
You can see
right.
it, it's not. Yeah, well, I mean, that's
Right.
it. This is a great example. You
Right.
know, you saw this coming, but that's not the story.
That's right. And but you have to be able to capitalize on the opportunity. So many people would, I feel, in their practice, find barriers to their happiness. They'll find reasons why they don't deserve it, why they can't afford it, they don't have time. What will people say? I mean, excuse after excuse after excuse. And I don't do that.
You just do it. Yeah.
I just do
Good for
it.
you. Good for
Yeah.
you.
And
Good for
I
you.
just,
That's so admirable. That is so admirable because
I
that
have
really
to,
is a lot of the meaning of life.
right. I have to lead the pack.
Yeah,
I have to show my kids too, It's like, this is how you do it. This is how you
right.
do it.
That's right. That's right. Always want to be the lead dog. Always.
Right. Yeah, and if I'm fearful and stuff, then if I'm not independent and I'm fearful, then it puts my kids in a position of having to care for me, and I don't want that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, of course they love and care for me. That's besides the point. I don't want that to be a burden. I
Well,
want
I
them.
don't think you're, I don't, yeah.
I want
But I
them to
mean, they're
think like,
not
what's
kids. Are they gonna, I mean, they're not kids.
they're not kids.
They're contemporaries.
They are. They most definitely are.
The kid thing already got by you.
Yeah.
But
But still, I
I,
mean, the hierarchy is
yeah.
there.
I know. I know. I know.
I feel like our timing is off today. Our whole, I don't know what's with our conversation.
Well, we're not talking about the usual stuff. We're talking about other stuff, you know. We're talking about family and about, you know, furniture and tacos and, you know, drinking olive oil and, you
Yeah.
know.
And you know what else I got in the mail today? As I got my
What?
other bell. I can't wait to open it. I haven't opened it yet because I've been too busy. But I got my other chime. Remember? Look at, listen, listen.
Is that the one you played the other night?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the one I have.
Yeah.
But I got another one. It's waiting for me to welcome it home. Oh gosh,
can
I
already wait. I can
oh.
already wait when you if you open the door to your new piece
Yes.
and you slide something in there that would any association with me, I can hardly wait for the comment from the piece of furniture. It's like, you know, what's that doing in here? Get that.
I have so many things to put in there. It was just getting ridiculous. I have, because I had a smaller cabinet and I'm like, you guys are just too scrunched in here. I need something bigger. And especially with all your stuff and it's just crazy. And I
Well,
just,
you can, yeah, whatever works. I mean, it's great.
I mean, you know what's so great about it is that everything that I have to put into this new piece of furniture that I just got, okay, it all has a story, how it came to be. And
Just like
then,
this, yeah.
right, so not, I couldn't just go to IKEA or just go to any furniture store, I can't. And just buy something and put all that in, it had to come with a story.
And it did.
God, and it did in the
A
biggest
big story.
way.
Yeah, big story. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, without getting into that, if anybody wanted to research the person that I got this piece of furniture from, is in the Guinness Book of World Records for singing the national anthem 17 times in 24 hours?
Among other
And Ronald Reagan wrote her a letter saying, thank you so much. Yeah, I listened to you. It's quite amazing. And I mean, obviously, I had no idea. I literally had no idea. And here's how the universe works. It doesn't matter. And I gotta talk to me because it's my experience every time. It doesn't matter what it is that I need. The universe speaks through the things that I do. So what that means is, if my habit is to be on the marketplace, okay, if my habit is to be there, I'm just scrolling. I find that more interesting because I have a design background. And I'm just scrolling on there. I will get what I need through there. I don't have to go look anywhere. And then if whatever my habit is, it's like the universe is following me and we'll put it right there. I don't have to look.
Well, I am mad, but that's God helps those that help themselves. I mean, obviously the universe is watching you operate. And maybe, it's like in your case, the universe is like the famous, curling sweeper. I mean, that it's you're still throwing the rock, but the universe is helping you. I believe that. I believe that.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about you 5 years ago, I wouldn't believe a nickel's worth of it. Now I believe most of it. That's the kind
Yeah.
of influence you've had.
Yeah, because you're watching me. You're
I
like
am
right
watching
next to me all the time.
every time. I mean, you and I are tight, and I'm watching it happen.
Yeah.
I'm watching it happen. I can feel it. And
It's.
it turns out I'm writing about it too, but that's just another part of the picture, another part of the story.
Right. All of it. It just I could look at everything in my room and just go, yeah. And that's how that came to be. And I mean, I'm sure maybe it's not that different from anybody else. I don't really know.
I think it's completely the same as mine. I mean, that's me exactly. Everything I've got has a story, everything.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you do. I mean, I keep obscure things, like you'll be rubbing your fingers on a stone, a rock, a quartz crystal or something. I'll be rubbing my fingers on a prop nut,
I don't even know what that
perhaps.
is.
Oh, it's a screw that holds on a propeller on a boat. But it'll have a story. I'll know how the prop nut came off. I know when it was, what the yard was, what I was doing, what the trip was, whatever. And I'll use it as a weight, paperweight. Or I've got stuff that I had in the Bahamas that's still here. In the Bahamas is a long time ago. I've got a cannon from King Solomon's Mines, sitting there. But I mean, that's I everything I've got a treasure chest that my dad brought back from Shanghai in in 19 I don't know 17 or something.
How big is it?
It's very small. It's probably I mean, this is very small. It's probably 5.5 inches long and maybe 3 or 4 inches high. It's tin. It's hammered tin from China.
Oh, okay. Because I'm looking at one too. I have one on my desk.
What I have in it is the stone that you delivered to me in the first part of the story.
Really?
And this, yeah.
The Orca Stone?
Hear
Hmm.
that? That's the top.
Yeah.
I just closed it. That's
Oh.
it. And that Orca stone is going to go in the book, of course, pictures of it. And then I
Wow.
have stuff like that. I also do that with books sometimes, where I buy a book. I'll buy a special book someplace and read it. And I'll associate the book with the place. I was on Friday Harbor one time, and I bought David McCulloch's book on John Adams, and I read it. I sat down and read it right there. in the park. While all my friends were drunk in the bar, I didn't want to do that. I'd rather read in a park under the trees, go to the bar and get hammered, than,
Yep.
stumble my way home.
I'd much rather do that. Much rather read. What's the most you've ever paid for a book? Anything?
Well, I tend to not. I mean, I'll pay retail for a book, now and then, I guess. And I suppose for me, an expensive book. I mean, I've spent north of $200 for a lot of books. But those were textbooks. $179 for textbooks. And because I've got so much education, I've got a lot of money in textbooks, which I'm going to just probably give away. In terms of books, I tend to do what you do on as you scroll. I look for books that way. I'll go find a book and I'll pay a quarter for it, 25 cents or a buck or whatever. I'll go to Goodwill. They have a lot of books at Goodwill, and people do what I'm doing, get rid of them, So if I want something on, I've got so many books on Sherlock Holmes, it's stupid. If I want something on Mao or Chinese culture or the presidents or you name it. I mean, the books that I buy, to answer your question, that I pay for are on quantum mechanics and on metaphysics, quantum mechanics, and that kind of stuff. And I pay sticker for those, and that's, 25, 30 bucks.
I wonder why we have that kind of a stigma, though. Why do we not want to pay, full price for a book?
Because we don't have to.
Yeah. I know. Just
We don't
seems.
have to. I mean, because they're
I
everywhere.
know,
They're
but
all over the place.
again, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I can go into a secondhand store and probably pick up five David McCulloch books if I want to. I can pick up a bag of them, for $5 a bag. Because
No,
they're
I
the kind of
know.
books that nobody reads anyway. I mean, he gets a Pulitzer Prize or a Nobel Prize for writing a book, And it's wonderful, and he gets a lot of bragging rights, and a few scholars read it. Nobody else reads it, and it's there. I've got Walter Isaacson's book on Einstein. Nobody reads that. Who reads that shit? I do. I've got Shadows of the Mind by Penrose. It's impossible to read. I mean, try and read Heidegger. It's impossible. It's like going to school. Ridiculous. So I read that as well as other stuff. I
See?
mean, I've been reading Summa Theologica.
Right.
Who reads that?
I don't know. You do.
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing. I mean, it's impressive and it's great. However, if it doesn't give you the answer, to me personally, I'm like, what am I doing? I need the answer. Once I have the answer, then if I choose to read those things, it's just icing on the cake. But it's not going to give me the answer. So to me, and I think most people, it's like I don't have time for that. I'm looking for the answer.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, is this a segue into the game?
Well, I'm just saying.
You're right, though.
The game is going to help you right now, right here, right now.
You're right. I mean, you're right. I mean, the game is the book of books, and then everything else falls in behind that. I understand that. So, I would have paid full price for the game had you not sent me a copy that was, personal. But I mean, all we did is exchange books. I mean, I sent you one, you sent me one. That was nice. But
No, you sent
and
me a
then,
bunch, and I sent you a bunch.
well, that's right too. That was my Christmas. Those were my Christmas gifts this year, which was a lot of fun last week or the week before, because I knew all those people had those books. And then, of course, I sent out I guess we all have a copy, but a copy of your award.
That was fun. Thank
Not
you.
just any Christmas gift, folks. Try this.
Yeah. But see that, and that's fun. Whatever it is we do in life, if we can make a story out of it, like that's what I'm writing in this chapter for Cracking the Rich Code. It's called To Love and Be Loved in Return. And I'm just talking to right now, I'm at the part where, loving harder, in that awareness, you can make a story for everybody involved and not just have it be transactional all the time. Like you're just going somewhere to buy the thing that you need to come back and to use the thing. And it's just, it's so mundane.
Yeah. Yes,
But
transactional is how you go to the grocery store. Only if you're buying bread, milk, and eggs. You can still make a story out of everything else. But
Right.
yeah, no.
I mean, I used to do that for just not used to, but when I'm thinking about these stories, it's just so much fun for everybody because I know that no matter what it was that was the inspiration for what was done, like for example, helping the homeless or helping somebody who's down their luck, or helping somebody who is trying to sell those damn candy bars and he hates his job and he's standing there in the parking lot like nobody wants my damn candy bar, and making it a story for him and my daughter and my boys and all their friends, and to keep going back and forth so that later on he's not going to have that job anymore, but he's going to remember what happened that day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's how you build your brain. That's how experience, that's how you guide your decisions as you go forward. Is with that kind of memory.
Right.
I
And
fully concur.
creating those memories, I mean, for other people is great, but also creating that memory for yourself. One time I was gonna go get a U-Haul, I think it was. I was renting a U-Haul. And there was a homeless guy digging in the trash. Did I tell you the story already? You remember?
The homeless
Anyway,
guy digging in the trash.
yeah, he was digging in the trash, trying to look for something to eat. He had like a basket and, clearly hungry. So I had parked my car. I went in to this little Mexican restaurant and I said, okay, give me, I got all kinds of stuff. I got soup and a burrito and some tacos. And I said, throw this on and throw that on. And then I went to my U-Haul thing, did that, and I took the package, the food to him. I drove up, got out of my car, and was going to give it to him. He never even saw me. And I just put it in his basket, and I was waiting for him to turn around, and he never did. And I just got in my car and I left. And I started to cry. And I thought to myself,
Wow.
yeah, that was such a gift to me.
Yeah, that's a powerful one.
Yeah, it was just, and that was my gift. So it's stuff like that. You have to really be aware of your surroundings so that you can make a difference. Otherwise, it's always just stuff you have to do.
When you give a gift to someone, though, it's always your gift, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean,
Absolutely.
you want them to appreciate it or like it or something, but it's always your gift. That's who you're servicing yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I hesitate because a lot of times the gift isn't received. And when it's not received, then you feel bad about it. And it's not a gift to yourself. Then oftentimes you sit there and go, why did I do that? They don't even care. They don't even appreciate it. They didn't even say thank you. Stuff like that.
Well, maybe you're overgiving. Maybe you're just giving too much. Back off. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, if you're
Well,
just sprinkling with fairy dust, that's one thing.
yeah,
But
well, stuff like that where you're not looking for a thank you, you're not looking to tell anybody. It's just you going about your day and it's just between you and God. This is what I did today.
well, I think that's how it should be. I mean, that's how. I think, yeah. I mean, I think I like to add to people's life
Right.
somehow. I like to add to their con to the convenience of their day to day, or like in your case, because of who you are, I like the idea of crystals, or of the prism idea, because I'm a big student of that. So I mean, I'm servicing myself. when I do that. But I
Sure.
it's but it's a but the spectrum is a the spectrum is a whole ball game. And I I just so that's what I do. I do stuff like that.
Yeah, but in that case though, you gave it to me and I appreciate it. You know that I'm looking at the sun. I'm playing with it. You know what I mean? This, that's a connection. But had you just given it to some random person, they'd be like, "Hey, thanks." It might toss it in the trash or give it to the next person. You know what I mean? There's no appreciation there.
Yeah, that's right. That would make me feel bad, but that would be bad on me to do it in the first place. I
Right.
mean, I give you a prism because I know that you are a student of spiritualism.
Right.
You're a light beam writer. Well, that's the ultimate light beam machine. I mean, there's nothing better. That is the light beam machine. So I don't know how we got here. I was going to bring up something else if we
What?
have time. I've been doing some research on the game, just to
Yeah.
see if anyone else has, thought about this
Okay.
early on,
Yeah.
because you've been, because it's so popular. There's only one person in history that has ever done anything that looks like your book,
Really?
and you know who it was?
Who?
George Washington.
How?
He wrote 110 Rules of Civility. Yeah,
Huh.
when he was a president. Yeah.
100. I'm gonna look this up right now.
Yeah. It's been put together by Richard Brookshire and other people. But the point is, it's Washington who started the whole idea of how. And I think that you may have this comes out of the Founding Fathers Free Press. I think you are in pretty good company with George Washington. Pretty good company. And they're I mean they're different, of course. They're completely different in a way, yeah. In his case, it was a period finish, like keep your nails clean and short, also your hands and teeth clean. Of course, he didn't have any teeth, these are made of wood, yet without showing any great concern for them.
Here it is. I found it.
Yeah.
So, okay. It's got 1500 stars, 1500 reviews. I'm thinking, and when was this written? Okay, so this one must be like a remake or something.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
1989. Okay, so that's what you found.
I was just scouting around, to see what your company might be on this planet. And it turned out to be the president, the first president of the United States, number
Interesting.
one.
I'm gonna have to get this book so that I can see what he suggested.
Well, yeah, go ahead. But I mean, I mean, it's not, it's a different kind of a book, but it's interesting, because he's telling people how to keep their nails clean and not worry about it.
Yeah.
Let your discourse with men of business be short and comprehensive.
You know what's funny is that when I okay, so now I looked it up right on Amazon, and the
Yeah.
company okay, so the company it keeps is the Constitution of the United States. Fart okay, fart proudly, writings of Benjamin somebody, what is it? It doesn't say Benjamin. Oh, it is Benjamin Franklin. Okay, and then
Fart
there's
proudly,
yeah,
fart.
fart proudly. And then The Richest Man in Babylon. So, that's a good book. And and The Art of War.
Good book.
Okay. These are okay, so this is all the suggested reading if you like that book. Let's see what mine is, seeing how we keep close company. We've got How to Play Softball. Great. Great. Yeah, the Ten Commandments of winning teammates. The Girl Who Makes a Million Mistakes, a growth mindset book for kids.
They still
Ronaldo.
have they got you
There's
in kids section, the kids section?
yeah. Sally the Sore Loser. I don't understand what the heck is going on here, but yeah, it's shuffled in there.
Well, then I would probably, I mean, the guy was the author of the Founding Father. I would, let's see, New York, London, Sydney, Singapore, the Free Press. Maybe you should contact these guys and say, or contact, you're talking about Amazon. Did you speak up Amazon? Now, Simon and Schuster, this is a Simon and Schuster book. But you might let Amazon know somehow. I don't know how you do that. I'm great
Yeah.
advice. I'm not going to give you any because I hate advice and it's ridiculous. But gosh, you deserve to be not in kids' games.
Right. Don't
I
know
mean,
how that worked out.
you're doing well without, without worrying about it, but still, Jesus, come on.
Right. Right. So the suggested reading, if I go there, let me see.
Well, you might let Eric know, by the
Yep, I
way.
gotta, yeah, publisher.
I mean, maybe you should write your publisher and say, hey, here's an idea. Try this.
Oh gosh. Okay, so it says you might also like, because I clicked on the game. It says, Awake, Not Woke. A Christian something or other. I'm not going to click on it. How to Do Things You Hate. The Art of Witty Banter. Be clever, quick, and magnetic. There's 1,100 reviews on that. I've checked that out.
Why don't you put yours up with the Bible? See what happens.
Well, right. Well, actually, yeah. Cultural backgrounds. It's a study Bible. That does come up,
Against
which
your
is
book?
weird. Yeah, well, you might also like a suggested book. It's all over the place. Changing the World Order. There we go.
It's Stiglitz. Is it Stiglitz book? The new World Order? Joseph Stiglitz?
No, this is the Changing World Order
Oh, okay. Different book.
by Ray
He
Dalio.
got the Nobel Prize, by the way. Speaking of Nobel Prize,
Who?
Stiglitz.
Look at all this. Here, stop overthinking. 10,000 reviews. Looks like a lot of people overthink. Interesting, huh?
Many reviews have you got?
11.
Huh?
Yeah, 11.
Organic growth.
Yeah, it's hard because people don't read the book, or they don't, leave a review. One of the two.
Yeah, I know. I they don't read, and I'm tired of asking people to read reviews
Oh
too. I
yeah,
don't know. Maybe it's just I'm
I
just getting
don't.
fed up on it. Yeah,
I just don't. I just figure,
I see that.
let it go, and
I
if
see that
people
my book
decide,
Deals Day
go
of
ahead.
Destiny is now free on Amazon with Audible with an Audible subscription. They're going to give the book away.
Interesting.
$9.99 on Kindle and $24.95 on whatever.
To buy the book.
And I've got on my titles, I've got After Your Children Die, International Baccalaureate, Fight for the Quantum, and Old History Trivia. I didn't even write that book.
But those are suggested reads?
No, they're just on the same page.
Oh, okay. Because they're all
I had them
you.
pulled up. Yeah, they're all, well,
Yeah, that's why.
Deals Danger. After Your Children Die, Baccalaureate, Fight for the Quantum, those are mine. Paris for the Eyes, those are mine.
Yeah, see, I see. That's because you have, it's it, they are looking up your name. So if you look up Marilee Sweeney, different books come up. The game doesn't come up.
The game doesn't come up under your name.
Under Marilee
Well,
Sweeney, no.
how about Marilee of Solana?
You can put in Marilee of
Then,
Solana, it comes up.
well, then that's how it should be.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the way it is. It's all good. It's all good. But now that I look, though, I might get a couple more books.
Well, you just started with you started with the question of how much have you ever paid for a book? Have you spent some big money on books? And not a single on a single book?
I think on a single book, I've spent $200 on a Billy Baldwin book, The Designer.
Yeah, that's the kind of,
And,
yeah, that's how you ensure. Yeah.
right. And I have that. That was, I actually bought that on eBay. But that's not most.
Those, that's how you, if you want to spend big money, those are how you can do it. All right. But I have such good luck in bookstores, not bookstores so much as booksellers where they're selling, used books. Because it's funny about books depreciate at a horrific rate. And I think it's because they have a projected life and that's it.
Yeah, sure.
But there's such a resource. I mean, I've got books by Ernie Pyle, who's been dead forever. The guy that was the reporter of the Second World War. Great books. Why do I want to get rid of those, I've got The Sway of the Grand Saloon, which is the story of all the major ocean liners that crossed the Atlantic.
Oh,
Great
God,
book.
John.
Who reads that
I don't know.
Here's a great book. Here's a great one, The Business of Shipping.
See, and that's why the Bible says, many books, there is no end. Yep, and too much study wearies the body. And there's a plethora of books out there. And, like if you go to a secondhand store or whatever, and you're like, oh, I just hit the jackpot. I got all these books and stuff. But think about all the books that there are and how many will never read. So if it comes across your desk, it's probably meant for you.
Yes, I think
Right?
so. Nothing wrong
Yeah.
with that.
I'm very thankful for the books that I have, that
I
I
am
just like,
too. I am
oh, so
too.
in love with them.
Although I am, I have to say, I am purging my library right now, to make room for more of what I want to do. I'm falling more and more into quantum mechanics, into the thought of life after life. Not because I think I want to die, but because I just am interested in that. Because the corporal life, the life, the, you know, your corporal body, here you are, that's very definable. I'm more interested in what, James Webb is bringing home. That's out there, 90 billion light years out there. That's a long ways. Whatever it is.
There's a lot of intelligence in books, though. A lot. Of course, there's a lot of crap too, to be honest with you.
You know how,
There's
but you know, but a book will give you good, a good, it'll give you an, it's an idea source. If I'm stuck for something to write, I can pull up a book and open any page and read until I've got an idea.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, we were talking about that before. With a game
Yes.
for like writers or for writers of fiction.
Absolutely.
Stylizing their characters.
Yeah.
To me they're invaluable. When people ask me, well, do you follow, so and so and so and so, have you ever heard of and so and so? I'm like, no. But if you name an author, maybe we got a better chance.
Well, I follow a few, and yeah, I think we all go in fits and starts too, don't we? Don't we kind of follow a few for a while, and we find somebody else, and new people come along, and follow them and whatever.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Yes, that's what people do. And you're just into one for a while, and then you go to the next to see what they've got and this and that. And I think maybe that's part of the reason why it just doesn't interest me to be the flavor of the day.
No. Well, I don't think, and I think in your case, that's a bad idea anyway. I think that you're timeless. I don't mind, saying that. I mean, you're a timeless author. You're a timeless thinker. You're a tactician as well as a thinker, because you're good at you're good at parlaying your thought into action. It's very rare who you are. Yeah, I mean, think about that, because a lot of people can write and think, but you can write, think, and act. By act, I mean you can act on your writing and thinking. And that's really, I mean, think about that if you want to.
Well, that is why the question comes up, well, how well do you know the game? And it baffles my mind.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's like, how
Well,
can you ask that question? How could I write a book like that? I don't know. To me, it just seems contrary. How could anybody write a book like that and not know what they're doing, not become it?
have you ever thought about writing children's books?
I have.
Did you ever do one?
Yes, I wrote a book called The Boy Who Would Be King. I
What
wrote
happened?
that. Oh, it's just sitting there. It's just
You
sitting
mean the
there.
book, or is it a manuscript?
A manuscript. I started writing it. I forget where I was. I was traveling somewhere, and I just opened my computer at the airport and just wrote that book.
Maximize the use of your time.
And I really do enjoy writing fiction. And someday I'm gonna, I'll write that. I'm not there yet. I'm just not there yet. Right now, I'm just too in love with whatever the heck I got going on right now to focus on that.
Well, you're a moving Odyssey, which is not everyone has a chance to be an Odyssey, and you are one. You're your own landscape. You really are. I'm not making this stuff up. You can't make this shit up. You really are.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that if I were to stand and look at you, and then look at let's say a corona around a light, a maybe a terahedron or something like that. Maybe a mountain's images, ranges, something awesome. Or look at you and know who you are, not just look at you, but see you. I think you compete directly.
That's an interesting
And
thought.
I think you speak to those things. I think you speak to those things. You speak to your rock. You believe, you look at your rock, and you and it heats up, it changes temperature. There's something, there's a corona, there's a vibration happening with that rock. I do the same thing with light. I love to look at light in the spectrum, because I look for ages and things, I look for red spectrum, I look for yellow, green spectrum, whatever it is, because I that tells me what the age of stuff is sometimes, in terms of because age, everything reacts, it's a function of light. Old stuff throws out red, new stuff throws out blue, simple as that. And so we it's the unseen universe that we live in. That's everything. We live in such a small fraction of what we do. We barely touch the surface. We're barely a pin. And people tend to get so wrapped up in their importance of what they are, politics or whatever it is. I mean, it's just a comedy to look at politics. Comedy. I mean, you
Always.
and I are on the journey of the mind and heart. That's what we are. We're on that kind of a journey together. And and it's vigorous. And it's daily. It's important. Yeah.
Sometimes, when you get used to living your life a certain way, I want to say like a certain elevation, because that's when you start to understand like what's important and what's not important. You want to call it maturity, maybe, although not everybody matures that like that. But I just sometimes I just listen to what other people are complaining about and frustrated about, and their life, they just have so much going on, and you can hear just it's so just it's just a mess. It's just so chaotic and full. And then one simple little thing, like oh, I said this the other day to my friend at in the farmer's market. I said, "Yeah, but that's not your life." And she goes, "What?" I said, "It has nothing to do with you." And she just stopped for a moment, like, "God, you're right. It's not." And I'm thinking, that's a prime example right there of how people overthink so many things. And it's the attachment to the people in your life, and you absorb it and you make it your own. And it has nothing to do with you. It's not your life.
Yeah.
And in that moment, she just like it, like she exhaled. She was like, oh.
Boy, she must look for you every week, huh? Did she sit there and wait for you to show up?
Yeah, well, because I haven't been signing books, but I do go and I support everybody and buy my stuff, and we always chit chat, and she's like, gosh dang it, you're not here. It's cute,
Yeah.
very, very cute. She's just a doll, but it's stuff like that when you're young. It's like, let me help you, let me just give you a little clarity right now, just to ease your pain, and because they can't understand that in that moment of stress, it's attachment. Attachment is the problem. The problem isn't the problem, it's your attachment to it. And it need not be.
That may be a good closure. We're at 71 minutes and
Oh,
53
goodness.
seconds.
All right. I'm just rambling anyway. Okay. Well, I love you.
Enjoyed it. It's fun.
Me
I
too,
love you too.
always. Okay. I'll see you. All
Okay.
right.
Bye bye.
Bye.